Peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe right now. We got a lot to talk about. Donald Trump.
Problem in this country, it's called Muslims. We know our current president is one. Right. You know he's not even an American.
We need this
first certificate, man. But anyway, we have training camps growing where they want to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
That's my question. When can we get rid of
them? We're going to be looking at a lot of different things. And
also, Ben Carson.
So do you believe that Islam is consistent with the Constitution?
No, I don't. I do not. I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that.
In terms of the tenets of Islam, are you familiar with them?
I'm familiar.
The Corpus Juris from the authoritative group of the people who make the rules that goes back to the 10th century AD.
And the Christian Sharia. What is that? Have you heard that term? Well, we're going to be discussing it here on the Dean Show and a lot more. Very exciting show, a lot of beneficial information. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean Show.
Back here on the Dean Show. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We got a lot to talk about. Let's take it to this clip with Donald Trump.
Problem in this country, it's called Muslims. We know our current president is one.
Right.
You know he's not even an American.
We need this
first certificate, man. But anyway, we have training camps growing where they want to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
That's my question. When can we get rid of
them? We're going to be looking at a lot of different things. And
what do we have to say? Training camps and getting rid of Muslims. Like they were talking at one time, getting rid of the Jews. Then they were talking about getting rid of the Japanese. They were talking about getting rid of the African Americans, even the Catholics. Now the Muslims.
Well, so that means this is a presidential campaign year. That's mm-hmm. what it means, number one. Number two, when you look at the statistics, 2014 FBI report, from the year 2001 to 2005, 94% of the acts of terrorism done in this country, they were done by non-Muslims. Only 6% by Muslims. So yes, if there are any training camps, that means we have to first get rid of the training camps by the non-Muslims, actually. We should get rid of all the training camps. If Muslims are doing something wrong, we condemn it. But the bottom line is, this is fear-mongering, and there is no such training camps in the USA by Muslims.
Now, I want to take it to this clip with former Homeland Security Daryl Johnson.
Hey, I'm a racist. I certainly am.
The rising threat of right-wing extremism.
So the combined total of far-right extremists active here in America is in the hundreds of thousands. Now compare that to ISIS supporters. We'd have probably just a few thousand of those.
What's the answer?
Well, the answer is we are desperately in need of more resources here in America to combat this problem. I can personally say that we have hundreds of analysts in the U.S. government looking at Al-Qaeda and ISIS and their affiliates, but we have mere dozens of analysts looking at non-Islamic extremists here in America.
So you hear what he's saying. He's confirming what this is, the former director of the Homeland Security saying what you just said, that you actually the non-Muslims, these far-right extremists are the greater threat right now. And actually people are seeing a statistic. You have a better chance of getting hit by your furniture than some kind of Muslim extremist.
Yeah, exactly. So Muslims are here. They are peaceful people. If just a fraction of them are doing some heinous act, we condemn it. And likewise, we should condemn anyone, may that be a Jew, Christian, Hindu, who may be a threat to the USA. So this is just fear-mongering. There is no such thing as Muslim training camps. Even if Muslims are doing something, they are just a fraction of it. And the majority of them are non-Muslims, as we have seen in that clip.
You know, people get real sullen and sad when you hear a lot of this hateful rhetoric. But we've done show on this, showing and really bringing to light many of the, which people don't know about, the Robert Duggarts. You know, the recently, not too long ago, the Georgia courthouse that was attacked. And these aren't Muslims, but you don't hear about many of these examples of non-Muslims who are out there creating havoc and doing terroristic acts. But it's sad. Anytime, you know, a Muslim, you know, some person who is mentally deranged does something, Islam gets brought into it.
Likewise, when you look at Europe, according to the Europol of 2014, there have been 152 acts of terrorism in Europe. and only 2%, only two of them, they were done by Muslims. So the majority, they are done by non-Muslims. And Muslims overall, they are peaceful people. Even if they do something, we condemn it. But the bottom line is Muslims are just doing a fraction of what the non-Muslims are doing.
You know, that's one beautiful thing about Islam, the way that was practiced by Jesus, Moses, Abraham, the submission to the will of God. It really helps us to come together as humanity, not to be now on opposite sides fighting each other, but to work together to make the world a better place. So we don't want to, in this show, disparage on anybody, but we're going to bring up, I mentioned Christian Sharia, because you have, for instance, we're going to go to a clip right now with another presidential candidate, Ben Carson.
If they're not willing to reject, you know, Sharia and all the portions of it that are talked about in the Quran, if they're not willing to reject that, the portions of it that tell you how you treat women, the portions of it that indicate that the kafir, who are the people who are not believers, are subject to different rules, that they can be dominated.
I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that.
And you see, again, this fear-mongering, when you see him talking negatively about Islam and Muslims, for the average person who hears this, again, they get a negative perception. They're not watching the Dean Show to get the facts. So what would you say?
He made many false allegations against Islam and Muslims. Well, first and foremost, he said that a Muslim cannot be a president. This is my reply to Ben Carson. Muslim can be a president, just like people of any faith can be president, because Muslims are supposed to respect the law of the land, number one. Number two, not only a Muslim should be a president, Muslim can be a better president, because not only he has the U.S. law that he could extract things from, he has the guidance from the Quran and from the example of Muhammad, peace be upon him. So he has that wonderful guidance he could extract, and he could bring that when he's a president. Then he made allegations about the Muslim women, about the Sharia law. Well, when we take one by one, it's important for us how we could dismantle these things.
Let's go. We're going to dismantle. They're saying that we got to go to break. Don't lose your place. We're going to be talking about the Christian Sharia and this whole fallacy and all of the misinformation that him and the like, other individuals like-minded, hopefully we can clear up their minds of all this junk and get them also on the right path towards peace. Here on The Dean Show, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, so before I cut out, I talked about heading towards peace. Creating this fear is not helping the situation to bring us towards peace. You're just basically spreading lies, it's bigoted misinformation. So before we went to break, go ahead and pick up where you left off.
So Ben Carson, one of the statements that he made is that a Muslim should not stand up for president, or Ben Carson is not going to support a Muslim president. Well, if we have the same litmus test for any presidential candidates, we will see that all of them, they come with some kind of a belief system. And that belief system is not always 100% compatible with the U.S. Constitution. And we could give some examples, by the way. I mean, Ben Carson himself, he's a Seventh-day Adventist. He's a Bible believer. And when we look at the Old Testament and New Testament commandments, some of them, they go against the U.S. Constitution.
Should we mention some of those?
Why don't we mention it? Let's educate in a nice, peaceful way, by the way. We are not here to bash on somebody's faith. But we just want to show the hypocrisy of Ben Carson. If he's going to pick on the Muslims, we have to make sure we're not picking on the Christians or the Jewish people. But we are saying that if you're comparing Quran, let's also look into the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, and see similar laws are also there in the Old Testament.
So if we look at because again, Sharia has been painted like the boogeyman's coming to get you, but Sharia is simply an Arabic word, sister language to the language Jesus spoke, Aramaic, which just means the law. So it would be equivalent to the Ten Commandments. That would be Moses brought Sharia. Jesus adhered to Sharia. Is that correct?
Exactly. So not just the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there are no less than 613 commandments. And this is the Sharia law given to Prophet Moses. So, for example, it says in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse number 3, the Ten Commandments are there. The rest of the Sharia law, of the Jewish Sharia law, it deals with how the state punishes the people. It deals with the economic system, political system. So really quickly, one of the aspects of the Jewish and the Christian Sharia law in the Old Testament is that if you don't respect your parents, if you curse your parents, it says in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 20, verse number 9, that you should be killed. That is the Jewish Sharia law. It says in there again, for adultery, you should be killed. You should kill the fortune tellers. You should kill the apostates.
This is the Bible now. This is clear.
This is not the Quran we are speaking, by the way. We are speaking about the Old Testament, right? We're speaking about the Old Testament. It speaks about in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20. Cursing of parents is a capital punishment. Adultery is a capital punishment. Fortune telling is a capital punishment. Homosexuality is a capital punishment.
Bible says.
Apostasy is a capital punishment.
Honor killings.
And honor killing. Yes, honor killing, according to the book of Deuteronomy. If the daughter of a priest, if she dishonors and commits fornication, she should be burned to death.
Bible says that.
The Bible says
that. That's the Christian Sharia.
This is the Christian Sharia.
Again, not trying to disrespect or hurt Ms. Arner's intention here. Again, this is in direct response to...
I say anyone who is of the Islamic faith, who is willing to disregard the tenets that are proclaimed through the religion and through, you know, the authorities of the religion, if they're willing to reject that and instead accept the American way and accept our Constitution as supreme over the Quran, over Sharia, over Hadith, over all of that, then I have no problem with them.
Some of these allegations that these people out there are making against Islam and Muslims.
We just want to show the hypocrisy of Ben Carson, by the way. We are not here to bash on the Bible. We respect the Bible. We just want to show. So when we say the Christian Sharia, the viewers may be thinking, hey, you are holding the Torah and you're saying Christian Sharia. What's the deal, right?
Yeah.
What's the deal? It's very important that according to Jesus, peace be upon him, in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17, Jesus Christ, he mentioned that I came not to abolish the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill. Anyone who takes away even a small portion of the law, they would be the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Now, fulfill, yes. this again, synonyms to that is to obey, to carry out. This is what it means.
So he came to respect and to implement.
To implement.
Yes. Number two, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he said in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 1 and 2, that listen to the Pharisees and the people of the law. Whatever they say to you from here, obey it. Be carefully obeying it. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he's saying to respect it and to implement the laws of the Old Testament.
You can see this constantly happening where he was approached by someone who said, look, good master, what good thing can I do that I may have eternal life? In the Gospel of Matthew, he said, why you call me good? Not only does it show that he wasn't God, that he was a mighty messenger of God. Yes. What Muslims believe, no Muslim is Muslim unless we believe and love Jesus as a mighty messenger, just like Abraham, Moses, and all the other messengers that God sent. And he said, why are you calling me good? There's none good but the Creator.
Yes.
And if one wants to enter into paradise, it goes with what you're saying. Keep the commandments. Don't
yes.
break them. Keep the commandments. Is that right?
Matthew, which is the first gospel, chapter 19, verse number 16, 17, 18. A person came to Jesus, peace be upon him, and asked him this question. How can I gain eternal life? Oh, good master, right? He said, good master. How should I gain eternal life? Jesus Christ, first and foremost, he corrected the person and he said, why do you call me good? There is no one good except God. So he's distancing himself from God and saying that only God is good. He's not. Secondly, he said, if you want to enter eternal life, means paradise, obey the commandments. These are the commandments. Jesus Christ directing to the people that they should obey it, they should practice it, they should follow the commandments of the Old Testament.
So if a Christian says now, if and again, more going towards our brother in humanity, Ben Carson, who should be just and fair and equal to all people. It seems like here he's really expounding and bringing out some of this hate rhetoric that you see a lot of these Islamophobes, you know, cutting and pasting and basically bringing out the same rhetoric that they are. Mm-hmm. So this would be Ben Carson's Christian Sharia that he should come out and actually reject.
Yes.
He should denounce.
Yeah, you know, just like Ben Carson is saying that...
I say, anyone who is of the Islamic faith, who is willing to disregard the tenets that are proclaimed through the religion, if they're willing to reject that...
That the Quran is incompatible with the Constitution... I would challenge Ben Carson to bring any book from any religion that is 100% compatible with the U.S. Constitution. Since he's a Christian, or at least he's a Bible believer, as you mentioned, Bible goes against the precepts of the U.S. Constitution. If the U.S. Constitution allows homosexuality, even though we disagree with that, but we respect whatever the judges has mentioned, the Bible is against it. So Ben Carson should be rejecting his own Bible then. Ben Carson should be rejecting against apostasy, which is again, which the Constitution is against apostasy or killing of the apostates. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, you should kill the apostates, and also in the book of Deuteronomy.
It's clear in the Christian Ben Carson's yes. Christian Sharia that anyone who changes his religion, kill him.
Changing the religion, kill
clear.
Them. Anyone who worships some, the Bible, right there. You could check this up.
They should go. Go look at the verse before it and after it. Because many people, they'll quote the Quran out of context. Look at the Quran also, like you should look at the Bible, the before and after. But it's clear there.
Cutting off the hands is there in the Bible. Stoning to death is there in the Bible. You know, if a person commits adultery, killing that person is there in the Bible. So anything Ben Carson is accusing the Quran about, it is there in the Bible, by the way. But it's very, very important. Even though the Bible speaks in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 3, very important, that even in a war, go and kill women and children and infants and destroy the whole country. Quran is against it. Even though the Christian Sharia or the Jewish Sharia says that, the Quran is very clear. That even in a just war, we are supposed to be careful in saving any person. Chapter 5, verse number 3 of the Quran says, and I'm paraphrasing, that taking in one innocent life is like taking the life of all of humanity. Saving one life is like saving the life of all humanity. And that is the Muslim Sharia law, respecting the life and the dignity of all the humans.
And again, Jesus upheld the Christian, the Sharia, the law, the commandments. You mentioned chopping off the hands. That's no joke. I mean, there is also, it's for real, like the woman who goes to help her husband who's actually being attacked by a burglar, a robber, and she accidentally hits his private part. The Bible says, the Christian Sharia says, cut off his hand.
As brother,
cut off her hand.
Her hand, hand actually.
Even she was trying to help her.
Yes. So some of the viewers may be thinking, you know, you're quoting the Old Testament, but then you're saying the Christian Sharia, what's the deal? It's important that all the commandments of the Old Testament were upheld by Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. He approved them, he told people to listen to those, and he told people to practice them.
We got to go on break because someone will say that, look, Jesus, no, he said that the one who is without sin shall cast the first. We're going to get into that and some more of women's rights. According to the Christian Sharia. You ready? When we come back, very exciting show here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. And again, I know it's case sensitive for a lot of people, but it goes back to the litmus test that Ben Carson, our brother in humanity, who we invite to come on the show and we can discuss these things, we can have a roundtable discussion, but he attacks Islam.
Judeo-Christian philosophy, do they line up together?
I don't believe that they do. You know, when I look at Islamic nations, what I see are people who don't give women equal rights. In some places, women aren't even allowed to drive.
Attacks Muslims, that's not fair, it's not right. And there might be some trepidation. Many of our brothers out there, the Christians, who we want the best for everybody. Islam says love all mankind, but we're bringing these things up to point out the hypocrisy, because someone like him who's throwing stones out of a glass house, you can't expect now you attack the Quran, you attack, which we've done many shows to explain the context of these things, and you see Islam continues to be the fastest growing way of life in the world by women who actually, if Islam oppressed them, why would they be coming more and more to Islam? There's no sword being held to them. But now, if you look, because Islam gives them all these rights, it gives them that people in this country didn't have at one point. So let's talk about the Christian, Ben Carson's Christian Sharia on women's rights that are really clear about what they're able to do, what they're not. Can you expound on this?
Sure. Before that, let's quickly touch upon where we left off. You mentioned that in the Bible, there is something that says that those who without sin cast the first stone.
Oh, yeah, that's where we left off. Yeah, because someone will use that to say, like, about apostasy or adultery, that it is not implemented because Jesus didn't implement it because he let everyone, because of this verse.
So that verse occurs in the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, and from verse 1 to onwards. Very important, according to the RSV, NIV, and other modern translations, that verse is, or those verses about the adulterous God and Jesus Christ saying, without sin, cast the first stone, it is not there in the oldest of the Bible documents.
It's a fabrication.
It's a fabrication. Somebody has added that in the most ancient manuscripts, like Codex Vineticus, Codex Vaticanus, other such codices. It's not there at all.
Bible scholars confirm this.
Bible scholars, actually, there's a footnote in this Bible that says the oldest manuscripts of the Bible doesn't have that.
So Jesus never said it.
Jesus never said it.
That's clear.
And so that's very clear, yes.
So I mean, obviously, if Jesus said, honor your father, your mother, and the one who doesn't, he said, this Jesus saying, according to the Bible, the Christian Sharia, kill him. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus is saying, right? But now, let alone all these other things that we had mentioned, apostasy, now we're coming on women's rights. Can we go and get into this?
Sure. So it's very important when we speak about the women's rights. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 23 and onwards, Paul is saying that women, they should be very silent when they go to the church. They cannot speak. If they have any question, they should come home and ask their husbands. Where is the right for them? Number two, according to the Christian Sharia, they should cover, the women should be covering their hair. If they don't, they should be shaving the hair because it will be dishonor for them if they don't cover, so they have to shave.
This is actually the hijab.
The hijab.
Wearing. And at one point, women were competing. Actually, if you look back in American history, the people who were actually covering their help, they were the upper enchelant, the women who wore more and were more modest.
Yes.
Kind of flipped now.
So when it comes to the status of women in Islam, it's very important that Islam uplifted the status of women. Before Islam came to Arabia, even baby girls, they were buried alive. They did not have the rights. Women were discarded. Islam uplifted the women equal to men in the eyes of God. Quran chapter 33, verse number 35 alludes to that. Islam says, when it speaks about mothers, paradise lies under the feet of your mothers, obeying them, respecting them, honoring them.
Yeah, but Ben Carson, he, from his interviews, he tries to make Islam look like it oppresses women.
The portions of it that tell you how you treat women.
Well, I think he's watching the cultural, some practices of the culture. But here is the gold standard, by the way. This is our gold standard, along with the example of Muhammad, peace be upon him, in which Muhammad, peace be upon him, Prophet, he said, the best amongst you is the one who is the best towards their wives.
In Luke 16:18, it says the woman who's divorced, let's say a woman, you know, she's been divorced, she can't remarry.
She cannot. You know, where is the justice?
Where's the justice?
Where is the justice for her?
She's committed adultery according to the Ben Carson's Christian Sharia.
Yes. So there's no justice, right? Even if you look in the Old Testament, if a person rapes a girl, he has to give him a certain amount of money and he has to marry her. So where is the justice for the rape victim, by the way? It's actually a punishment for her and it's a reward for him. So this is the Christian Sharia and this is the Jewish Sharia. So we are not trying to, you know, bash the Bible. We are not. We obviously respect the Bible. We have to. But what we are saying is, if Ben Carson is against the Quran, and there is no such thing in the Quran that speaks against the women, minorities, or injustice, we are showing that it's not here. But those things that he has against Islam in the Quran, almost all of them, they are present in his book and by his belief. So if he wants Muslims to discard the Sharia or the Quran, we want him to discard the Bible, using the same logic of his, by the way. If this is going to be his litmus test for the Muslims, let's put him to the litmus test. And by his own logic and by his own litmus test, if he doesn't want a Muslim to be a president because he believes in the Quran, Ben Carson should be withdrawing his bid from being a presidential candidate because he believes and upholds the Bible to be as the Word of God.
Now, can we say, because when you look at obviously anything that has been prescribed by the Creator in the Quran, I mean, you look at it in context, you'll see it's perfect legislation. It just makes sense. You look at it, there's nothing that is any act of injustice towards humanity, towards an individual. But you have things, we would say, in the Bible that people can't wrap their minds around because the Bible's been changed, it's been tampered with. You have a verse in Jeremiah that talks about the lying hands of the scribes. So You have things, injustices in there, killing innocent children, women, which obviously in the law of God, the Sharia, this is unacceptable. Or, you know, defaming, disgracing all the prophets, calling Noah a drunkard, David a adulterer, and all of the other heinous things that are attributed, where in Islam, the prophets are held to the highest level of impeccable character. So when you do, and we encourage people, we've done shows on this before, look at these topics that they bring up and look at them in the Islamic context, apply, you'll see the beauty of Islam.
Yes, when it comes to justice, as you have mentioned, right, it says in the Quran, chapter 4, verse number 135, that God is saying to the people, to the Muslims, stand up for justice, even if it goes against you, your parents, your relatives, either rich or poor. And it continues. So justice is very important. Quran speaks against racism when it says in chapter number 49, verse number 13, that, O mankind, we have created you from male and female and distributed into nations and tribes, different colors and shapes and forms. You get to know each other. Muhammad, peace be upon him, coming from the Sharia perspective, he said that an Arab is no superior to a non-Arab and vice versa. White person is no superior to a black person, and vice versa. All of your children of Adam, and Adam was made from dust. Mm-hmm. And last but not the least, it says, according to the Jewish Chronicle, by the way, how the Sharia law saved Judaism from becoming extinct. So you could go and read this according to the Jewish Chronicle, May 24th, 2012. So we could give example after example of the beauty of the Sharia law. First and foremost, it speaks, it connects the person to one God. Then it provides justice, equality, and peace for humanity, coming from the Quran and the wonderful, noble example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Before we go, we're actually going over the time. It seems like a lot of these people who used to wear, I always make this example, wear these white outdated capes, you know, the KKK, now that same hate rhetoric is here today, and they keep bringing up the penal code of Islam. Mm-hmm. The penal code of Islam, instead of focusing on all of the beautiful things of family, of freedom of religion, of so many wonderful things, but they keep bringing up the penal code of Islam. Yeah. They're just like bringing up the electric chair, the hanging, and focusing that as that representing American values. What do you say about this?
No, it's very important that, unfortunately, because of the Islamophobes and the media and people like Ben Carson, when they look at the Sharia law, the first thing comes to their mind is the punishment penal system. But Islam is much more than that. Only like less than 15 passages from the Quran speaks about the punishment system. And punishment system is there in any society, by the way. So it is not just to speak about the Quran or the Sharia law and picking only on the punishment system. We have to look at the whole beauty of the Sharia law that speaks about the honor of the parents, justice to the minorities, not oppressing the women, giving them the rights, the services, the equality, all the things it provides.
Eradicating poverty.
Yes, eradicating poverty.
The correct. Rights of the poor.
Yeah, in just like in the same way, if someone comes from a different country and asks you and me about the U.S. Constitution, if we only say to that person that the U.S. Constitution kills people by electric chair, lethal injection, or hanging, do you think we'll be doing justice to the U.S. Constitution?
No,
if we only speak on that aspect only, we'll be not. So in the same ways, just like the U.S. Constitution provides us services, it has the benefits, it has social security and taking care of the elderly and on, only a minute part of the U.S. Constitution deals with the punishment system. In the same way, majority, 99% of the Sharia law deals with the guidance, the beauty, the respect. 1% deals with the punishment system to deter the criminals and to bring justice and peace to the society.
Beautiful. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us to cover this very important topic. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And thank you for tuning in. We covered a lot of ground. Again, clearing up the fallacy that Islam is some kind of threat. Muslims are some sort of threat. You heard the director of the former director of Homeland Security. You see the statistics. Who is the real threat? And you see that Muslims have contributed greatly to society. And remember, a Muslim is simply one who is adhering to what God Almighty wants us to do, and that's to live in peace with our neighbor, to live in peace with society. And also, again, as I mentioned before, our intention is not to hurt our brothers in humanity from any other religions, but to point out the hypocrisy. When people try to bring up Islam, the Quran, Muslims, and Sharia, and to highlight some of the small things of the penal code, which we've done many shows explaining many of these misconceptions, but people like to end up spewing a lot of hate rhetoric and creating confusion in the hearts and minds of people. So we wanted to point out these things just to go ahead and set the record straight. And remember, Islam is the only non-Christian faith, which makes it an article of faith to believe and love Jesus. They don't highlight this. You don't hear this, that you cannot be a Muslim unless you love and revere Jesus as one of the mightiest messengers that God Almighty ever sent. You get excommunicated, you get out of Islam if you don't believe this. And in his Blessed Mother, which there's a whole chapter named after her, Maryam, Mary in the Quran. So you see that there are so many wonderful things that are mentioned in Islam, about Jesus, about our brothers in humanity, how we need to work together to make the world a better place, to establish peace and justice for all. So I hope that you got the benefit. Call us. There was a lot of ground covered. If you have any questions, some objections, call us. Let's start a healthy dialogue. We invite Ben Carson, Donald Trump to come on the Dean Show, and we can talk about these things. Sit with the Muslims. You have people who are anti-Islam. They sat with Muslims, had a total change of heart. Because when you dehumanize someone and now you don't see them as your brothers in humanity as we do, now you can go ahead and advocate for all sorts of evil against these people. But when you sit and you come and you learn the truth from the Muslims, what Islam is all about, you get a totally different perspective. So we encourage you to watch the Dean Show, subscribe if you haven't, and call us 1-800-662-ISLAM. I hope this was of a benefit to you. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.